Welcome to the Swiss Info Podcast, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
Hello and thanks for downloading Swiss Info's podcast for November the 14th. I'm Thomas Stevens. Dancing Indian gods and a 20-kilometre trail of blood add colour to this week's podcast, but first this.
Auf dem Land sagt man, man muss lernen, auf den Körper zu hören. So gehe ich mit einer gewissen Wehmut, aber auch mit Genugtuung über das Geleistete.
Yes, just as the world was catching its breath after the election of Barack Obama, on November the 12th, an emotional Samuel Schmidt, the Swiss Defence Minister, caught everyone out by announcing he would be stepping down at the end of the year. Schmidt, who joined the seven-member cabinet 8 years ago, had endured months of flak for his handling of two training accidents in which several soldiers died, and after his choice as army chief was forced to step down because of sexual harassment allegations. The 61-year-old had also been hospitalised last week with an infected gallbladder. At a press conference that had to be interrupted when Schmidt suffered a nosebleed, he said,
Bald 62 Lebensjahre und warnende Zeichen.
I am resigning for the sake of my health, my family, my country and the army.
The announcement was something of a surprise, as calls for his resignation had died down recently. Schmidt said earlier this month he was not considering stepping down. Schmidt held the country's rotating presidency in 2005, but broke with his right-wing Swiss People's Party late last year after it went into opposition. At the press conference, Schmidt defended his 8-year record as defence minister, during which he championed wide-ranging reforms and the deployment of Swiss armed troops on peace missions abroad.
Aber der Entscheid ist deutlich positiv gefallen.
We have won 4 referendums. The army has undergone its largest reform since the formation of the parliament. Much has been achieved. Much remains to be strengthened.
But he also hit out at Switzerland's political climate, which he said had lost a sense of collegiality over the past decade and a half.
Mit Dankbarkeit für das Erfahrene und die unzähligen
Kontakte. I stand for consensus. It has shaped our country and taken us forward. Switzerland has become a bastion of stability, prosperity and security. Moderation and reason are the political foundations of our society. Polemics and unwarranted polarization do not belong in the political culture of this country.
The government said in a statement it regretted the loss of Schmidt, a loyal colleague who always looked for balanced solutions. Schmidt's successor will be chosen on December the 10th in a joint session of Parliament. Swiss newspapers gave Schmidt a mixed political obituary.
Schmidt drew the appropriate conclusions from his weakened health, weakened ability to assert power, and weakened motivation,
wrote Zurich's Neue Zürcher Zeitung.
It came at the right time, and it deserves respect.
The German-language Tagesanzeiger said Schmidt would be fondly remembered.
Not because of his ups and downs as defence minister, but because he cared.
But as was typical among Swiss, it wrote, Schmidt lacked the oomph to really inspire people.
Samuel Schmidt was the antithesis of the dominant figure at the time,
tabloid paper Blick said in reference to People's Party figurehead Christoph Blocher. It noted that Schmidt had been elected not by his friends but by his political enemies, a recurring problem throughout his entire career in cabinet.
His friends were not friendly, his opponents not friends, and the department he was dealt was not sexy. Samuel Schmidt could not win, and he did not win.
Also this week, while Switzerland may not be known for its low cost of living, a study on November 11th revealed which places are less expensive than others. The rural canton of Appenzell-Innerrhoden again topped the list as the cheapest place to live, as it did in 2006 when the survey was previously conducted. The report by Credit Suisse Bank said the canton was the most appealing place to live for the broad middle classes, thanks to relatively low real estate prices, moderate tax rates, and the country's lowest health insurance premiums. Geneva remained rooted to the bottom of the league table of the 26 cantons, owing to high property prices and hefty taxes. Obwalden climbed 5 places to second after slashing taxes in 2007, while Zug fell 13 places to 18 as the cost of real estate rocketed in the past 2 years. The cost of living varies enormously in Switzerland, since individual cantons and local municipalities have the power to set their own tax rates. Credit Suisse senior economist Thomas Ruhl told Swissinfo that the influx of wealthy foreigners has made a big impact on the demographic landscape in Switzerland.
And in Zug, for example, you still have the lowest tax rate in Switzerland, so for foreigners with high incomes, it's more attractive to live in Zug, even though the cost of living are considerably higher than in the cantons around. In Valle and Graubünden, you have a substantial influence of second homes, which increase the real estate prices and rents, and this also affects the households residing in these places.
The disparity in the amount of disposable income enjoyed by inhabitants has increased the trend of intercantonal movement for financial reasons. Ruhl explains that the economic necessities had led to an increase in the number of people moving address and opting to commute into work.
Over the last 40 years, you saw a dramatic increase in commuter movements. This is definitely a result of the financial optimization of households. So if somebody can increase their disposable income, they would move to another canton, and this has happened on a very large scale in the last 40, 50 years.
Credit Suisse senior economist Thomas Ruhl. And now a look at some of this week's lighter news. A concerned driver called police in Canton Aargau last week, saying she'd been following a line of red liquid, which she thought was blood, on a main road in northern Switzerland for several kilometres. A police patrol car got on the case and confirmed the liquid was indeed blood. A police statement said officers, thinking they were on to the crime of the century, followed the trail for 20 kilometres to the town of Kütigen, only to find that a butcher's supply van had spilled its cargo, a 50-litre barrel of pig's blood. The van had been heading for a local sausage factory. The Vendée Globe solo around-the-world yacht race is one of the most grueling sporting events in the world. The previous race 4 years ago was won in 87 days. Two Swiss were among 30 competitors to set off on November 9th from Les Sables d'Olonne, the French town where the Vendée Globe starts and ends. 2 days later, however, both had limped back to port. Dominique Vavre was having electrical problems, and Bernard Stamm had managed to smack into a Maltese fishing boat. Vavre set sail again after a 10-hour delay, but Stamm had to wait 3 days until his boat had been patched up. Now it's time for Out and About, where roving Swiss Info journalists report from the far corners of Switzerland. Shiva is among the most important Hindu gods. A new exhibition at the Rietberg Museum in Zurich explores his most famous incarnation. That is the Cosmic Dancer, or Lord of the Dance. Isabold Leibold Johnson went along to find out more.
The image of Shiva dancing, posed on one leg, surrounded by a circle of fire, his hair flying, is known throughout the world. The Rietberg Museum in Zurich boasts its own impressive bronze dancing Shiva, dating from the 11th century. It is the inspiration for the exhibition, says its curator, Johannes Belz.
In our collection we have a bronze of a dancing Shiva, which was bought by the founder and collector of the Museum Rietberg in the 1920s-30s. And this bronze is, so to say, a kind of landmark of our museum. It is among the most beautiful pieces we own in our collection. And definitely the ultimate object in the Indian collection.
Shiva is a god of contradictions, a family man, a hermit, a warlike king, a teacher. He can be both benevolent and terrible, and never more so when he is dancing. And therein lies his fascination, says Belz.
He is the creator of the universe. He is the sustainer and the destroyer. He is the one who makes the world and destroys it in the end to open doors for new creation. So that's the symbolic meaning. He is a metaphor for the cycles of life, for change, for transformation. He is the one who transforms the darkness into light and dirt into gold. He's the one who transforms the universe. He's beyond the cycle of birth and death, of creation and destruction.
Set out as a temple, the exhibition shows Shiva in all his incarnations. We meet his wife, Parvati, the only one who can calm him, and his children. We learn about his saints, each with their own heart-rendering story of devotion to their god. There are 33 bronzes and 5 huge stone sculptures on display, with many having come from some of the most renowned museums in the world, such as the British Museum in London. A particular coup, however, has been the loan of objects from India itself, Shiva's homeland. R. Balasubramanian is a curator from the Government Museum, Chennai, in southern India. He travelled over to Switzerland with 4 precious items. For him, the display certainly does justice to its divine subject matter.
The exhibition is a grand success. I feel that they have made an excellent work in doing this exhibition.
Isabel Leibold Johnson at the Rietberg Museum in Zurich. Thanks for listening. Learn more about these stories at swissinfo.ch. Tune in and download again next week for more Swiss news and views. I'm Thomas Stevens.